If you've got a Bible this morning, Ephesians chapter 4. There was a pastor one time who was on vacation, and he decided that since about the only person he'd ever heard himself, that for years the only person he'd ever heard preach was himself, he decided to go visit another church while he's on vacation. And so he's in another state, he's in another city, he's sitting in this church, and he's noticing that very similar to his church, the congregation is kind of not really with him, kind of spacing out. You know the look, or at least I know the look. And all of a sudden, the pastor of this church says this. He says, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. And all of a sudden, the congregation just kind of woke up, kind of looking around. And he said it again. He said, some of the best years of my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife. And by that time, I mean, he's got everybody's attention. And then he said, and that woman was my mother. And the interesting thing was, not only was the congregation awake, but he had their attention for the remainder of that message. And so this pastor, he goes home and he's thinking, wow, that really worked good. So he's preaching away, and he notices that people are kind of nodding off and spacing out and stuff. And so he just, right in the middle of his sermon, he says, some of the best years of my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife. And just like at that other church, people started waking up and kind of looking around. And so he said it one more time. He said, you know, some of the best years of my life I spent in the arms of another man's wife. And man, he had everybody's attention by then. And you know, he forgot the rest of it. He forgot what the next line was, and so he said, and for the life of me, I cannot remember who that woman was. We're in the second part of a three-part series. Shake it off, Gail. Just shake it off. We're in the second part, and the series is called The Threefold Ministry of Every Believer. And we talked last week about our ministry to the Lord. I'm going to kind of review that for a minute, but what we began by saying was this, that we as believers, every one of us, are called to the ministry. The word minister means to serve. We're all called to acts of service. And we said that those areas are threefold. We are, first of all, called to minister to the Lord. We're, second of all, called to a ministry to the church, to the world. We have been given the word of reconciliation, the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about our first call, which is ministering to the Lord. And we said that as New Testament, New Covenant priests, our ministry to the Lord involves offering the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That what God has called us to is a place of living in an attitude of gratitude, in a place of thankfulness before the Lord. That God calls that an acceptable sacrifice. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him let us offer to God the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And you know, in that process of functioning and rejoicing and praising God, we actually in a deeper way, because we begin to experience His presence. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. That as we have a thankful heart, we begin to get to know God more intimately. And this is in your notes, but it's actually from last week, and this is so important. It's out of that relationship with God that comes our ability to be a blessing to the church and to carry the message to the world. We all need to spend time with God, not just pastors so that they will have a message to share on Sunday morning, or not just Sunday school teachers so that they would have kind of an anointing on their life. Every one of us needs to spend time with God, because ministry is really an overflow of my relationship with the Lord. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 15 when he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he talks about maintaining this connection, abiding in the vine, staying in a place where I'm connected to the vine in such a way that as the life of the vine will flow up and into me as a branch and cause me to be fruitful. It's not that I am trying hard to bear fruit. My job is to stay connected to the vine. My job is to stay in vital relationship with God. And out of that, fruitfulness just comes. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:10, and this is in your notes also. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And what we said last week is not only was Jesus quoting the book of Deuteronomy as the enemy was coming to him and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of those kingdoms, and he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give it all to you. And he was quoting out of Deuteronomy and saying that can never be. But beyond that, it reveals a divine order. You are first of all called to worship the Lord your God. Secondly, you are called to serve him. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said that God is actually looking for true worshipers. He's actually seeking true worshipers, those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. The first call upon our lives is to be worshipers of God. Out of the intimacy and relationship that creates comes the ability to serve him. We talked about the story in Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha. What a powerful story. Martha invites Jesus into her home. Must have had the ministry of hospitality. But see, when you invited Jesus in your house, you didn't get just Jesus. You got Jesus and his entourage. You got Jesus and the disciples. And we have the picture of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word that he said. And we have Martha, I guess in my imagination, I see her banging pans in the kitchen. And you know, she's just thinking, I got all these people. You know, I got to fix something. I got to do something. And the Bible says she was distracted by much serving. Do you know that we can actually get so busy serving God that we don't have time for God? And then we begin to serve him in our own strength and in our own ability. And that's you are heading towards burnout when that happens. We are to serve him in his strength and in his empowerment and ability. I love the story because, you know, Martha comes to Jesus and she says, would you ask my sister to get off her duff and to help me? That's kind of a paraphrased version. And Jesus' response was, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. You're carrying around a whole load of stuff here. And what Mary has chosen is the only thing that's necessary, and I'm not going to take it away from her. Interesting words, isn't it? Here was the Jesus who fed a multitude of people with a boy's lunch in her house, and she's worried about all the details. Where does true fulfillment, significance come from? Who do you identify most with in this story? Mary or Martha? Don't say Jesus. Mary or Martha? What is each one of them doing to draw significance and fulfillment? What values are expressed by their actions? Because values, real values, are those things that are important enough to be expressed in our daily choices. We express values every day, every one of us, by the choices that we make. Both Mary and Martha are expressing values. And I just want to say the first step towards significance, towards fulfillment, is to have right values. True significance, this is in your notes, true significance, fulfillment, comes from being with God. There's something that happens in my life as I spend time with the Lord that there is no place else to get it. There is a sense of fulfillment. There is a sense of affirmation that comes from God that allows me to go through life, and it seems everyone else could be against me, but if I have His affirmation, I'm okay. Jesus, when He was baptized, the Father said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And with that affirmation from the Father, He went into 40 days in the wilderness of temptation and going through all that. He came out of there and He preached His first sermon, you know, in Luke chapter 4. And He goes into this church and it didn't go well. They ran Him out of church to this cliff. I've never had a service end like that. But see, yet, Karen says yet. I'm glad this city is not on the... build on a cliff. But see, because He had His Father's affirmation, it didn't matter. If you remember the story, He just walked right through the midst of them, went about His Father's business. See, if you have the affirmation of God, you don't need the affirmation of man. If you have a fulfillment that comes from your relationship with God, it allows you to go into life fulfilled. In other words, you go into life to be a blessing to others instead of needing the affirmation of others and needing, you know, if you live in a way where you draw that from this realm, you will have up and down days all your life. You will have days where you, wow, people like me. And you'll have days with, nobody likes me. You know what I'm saying? But if you're fulfilled in God, if you draw that from God, then it puts you in a place where you can go out into life to be a blessing. Lord, I just feel so full of joy today. Who can I give some joy to? Who can I be a blessing to? Now this morning, that was all review. That was all free. Now we're getting into this morning's message, and that is we have a ministry to the Lord, but now we also have a ministry to the church, to the family that God has placed us in. Each one of us has been given giftings and abilities that God has designed to be released through our lives to be a blessing to the body. I had you turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start out with verse 11. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all things that He might fill all things. And that's, of course, talking about Jesus. And He, Jesus Himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. We often refer to these as the fivefold ministry. God has given the fivefold ministry for this purpose. Read the next verse. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. In other words, God has given the fivefold ministry to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Let that sink in for just a minute. For the edifying of the body of Christ. See, when everyone begins to do what God has called them to do, the body begins to be edified. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the understanding of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, no one person fully expresses Jesus Christ. Each one of us has certain gifts and certain abilities. But when we all begin to use those gifts and use those abilities, there comes an expression of Jesus Christ in a given community through a local church that begins to express the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Now this verse 16 is powerful. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, as we are knit together in unity, as love is flowing among us as God's people, as each person is doing what God has called them to do, every part does its share. It causes growth in the body, and there's an edification of the body of Christ. It is a powerful picture. See, Christianity is not a spectator sport. Christianity is not coming to church while a few people do everything and observing it and saying, well, I like the way that church does it. I like the way they do it there. But we are called to be on the team. We are called. It's not like some of us are in the grandstands and some of us are out on the field. We're all called to be on the field. You know, Christianity, apart from that, when it's not functioning properly, has been described like a football game, where you have 22 people who desperately need rest, running around in a playing field, making it all happen, while 30,000 overweight people who desperately need exercise watch from the bleachers. Let the church of Jesus Christ not be so. We are called to be players. We are called to be on the field. Each one of us has a deposit of God within us that He has put there for a purpose that will glorify Him. Romans 12, verse 4. There are many passages in the New Testament that describe the body of Christ, and every one of them describes the body of Christ as a body. And each part of the body has a purpose. And as one passage says, you know, the eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. Or one part of the body can't say, I don't need this or I don't need that. You know, the reality is we need every part of our body. Somebody said, well, I'm just like the big toe on the right foot of the body of Christ. Do you know how critical the big toe is to balance? I mean, every part is important. Every part has a function. That's the picture that we see in Scripture. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then it begins to describe these gifts, but notice the emphasis on the gift is use it. The emphasis on the gift is use it. See, God is all about this thing. It's called stewardship. It's called being a faithful steward of the resources that God has given us. Now, I know we all play this game where we look at ourselves and we say, you know, I'm really not of that much value. And we look at other parts of the body of Christ and we say, wow, you know, that's important and that's important. And it's very easy to belittle ourselves. But that's not God's perspective. Stewardship is an important thing. You know, the parables on stewardship challenge me to the core. I mean, here's this master, you know, he goes away and he entrusts so much of his resources with each one of these stewards. And there was one person that actually took these stewards and buried them. Didn't use them. Just put them in the ground so that when the master came back, he dug them up and gave them back to the master. That was not the desired outcome. God just wants us to use what we have. He's not calling us to be something we're not. He's not calling us to be Billy Graham or some other person. He's just calling us to be ourselves. And in each one of us, God has placed a gift or gifts, abilities, that He purposes. You know what I believe? I believe that as Christians, we will never be fulfilled until we do what God has put within us to do. Until we sing our song. And until we, it's sort of like there comes a point in time where the hand fits into the glove and it fits just right. And we say, yes, this is what I was created for. This is my passion. This is my desire. I there's nothing that gives me greater joy than to do what God has called me to do. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, use it to serve one another. Use it to be a blessing to the body of Christ, but use it. Who has received? The Bible says over and over again, each one of us, all of us. You know, there are giftings and there are abilities that vary in people. Let me tell you something. My dad is an incredible artist. I mean, he can paint pictures. I don't have that. I can't even hardly draw a stick figure. I mean, my proportions are way off. There are certain gifts and certain abilities that people have. I was over at Matthew's house the other day. I don't know if you've ever seen the woodwork that this guy does, but it is incredible. I'm just looking at this. I'm thinking, that is incredible, the precision, the time. I mean, that is a gifting. And you know, it's not something that Matthew did for a living. It was a hobby. And yet, each one of us has different giftings and different abilities. You know, if I tried to do some of that Matthew did, you would not want it in your house. You just wouldn't. It wouldn't turn out right. The drawers wouldn't open. Or if you did get them open, you couldn't get them closed. That's not my gifting. That's not my ability. But you know, I can rejoice in Matthew's ability. And we can rejoice in the giftings and abilities that God has given to each one of us. And I rejoice when I see somebody that can do something that I can't do. It just makes me excited to find what a gift, what an ability. We begin to appreciate one another. We begin to appreciate the deposit of God within each other. So, what areas have I been gifted in to be a blessing to the body of Christ? How can I figure out what those areas are? A number of you, I sent those of you that I have email addresses for, and if I don't have your email address and you have one, please give it to me. But those of you that I had email addresses for, I sent out a spiritual gifts test. And what it is, it's something that you can actually take online, and basically you answer about 100 and some questions, and you have to be honest or it won't come out right. But if you're honest and you answer those questions, it will tell you some areas that you have strengths in. And that can be a blessing. I brought some extras. If you don't have an email address and you want one of these, they're available after the service. You know, another thing, another way to tell what God has put within us, there's a scripture in Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Do you know that God himself actually works in you and I to will? Do you know what that means? To desire. To desire. He puts desires within us. He puts passions within us to will and to do. In other words, the empowerment or the ability of God underneath us to enable us to do it. God works in us, gives us desires, and gives us the giftings and abilities to accomplish those desires. One time a person said to me, you know, I just don't want to totally surrender my life to God. And I said, why? He said, well, because I know I'd probably have to go to Africa as a missionary or something, you know. And I said, you know, that's not true. God isn't going to try to get you to do something that you hate doing, that you have no desire to do. Although, 10 years ago, many people told me that I was called to the nations. And I just said, no way. I'm just a local pastor, man. I just like to hang out around town and be a pastor to people. That's my heart. That's my desire. But in 2002, God began to change my desires, because it is God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But see, God will never ask you to do something without giving you a desire and a passion to do it. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? You know, I mean, he might lead you someplace where you don't have a desire to do now, but one of the keys that will show you that he is leading you in that way is you'll begin to put a passion in your heart, a desire in that direction. Sometimes when people say things like that, you just, you know, I didn't reject it. I didn't say, you know, I just put it on the shelf. It's not confirming anything in my heart right now. Well, you know, those words of sense come off the shelf because God has definitely been doing that in us. Ministry flows out of right attitudes. Attitudes have to do with our perception, how we see things. If we see things properly, it helps us to have right attitudes. Accurate perceptions do affect the choices that we make. But last week we talked about ministering to the Lord and offering sacrifices to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The attitude, the proper attitude for ministering to the Lord is one of gratitude. It's one of thankfulness, one of rejoicing. We were talking, Mickey and I were talking this morning about choices. You know, there's a lot in Christianity that involves choices. I can choose to believe God or I can harden my heart in unbelief. We make choices. And it's the same thing as we're ministering unto the Lord. What we're doing is we're choosing to be thankful and not take for granted all of the blessings and all of the things that God has done in our lives. Now, you don't have to do that. You could spend your life focused on the negatives. You know, you could spend your time thinking about, well, what about this or that? But you know, I choose not to. I choose to rejoice in all. You know, I'm saved. Did you know that I get to go to heaven when I die? Do you know how big that is? I mean, that is incredible. I have a relationship with the living God. We live in a world with false religions and all kinds of stuff. I know the real God. Well, I'm excited even if you're not. An attitude of gratitude. Psalm 107. Verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever." That's enough right there. That's enough right there. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Say what? "The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know, this psalm is an interesting psalm because it keeps repeating it. And in verse 8 it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 15, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Because we have this tendency of taking those things for granted and focusing on the other stuff of life. But if we choose to focus on God, you will live in a whole new place. You will live in an attitude of gratitude, walking and living in his presence. Verse 22, "Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Hallelujah. Okay, that's the right attitude as far as ministering to the Lord. What about ministering to the church? The attitude in ministering to the church is twofold. Number one, out of a servant's heart. What can I do to be a blessing? The heart of a servant is a wonderful thing in the eyes of God. You remember Jesus' disciples, you know, they're always concerned about who was going to be great in the kingdom and who gets to sit on his right hand and on his left hand. And Jesus was addressing that with his disciples in Matthew 20, I'm in verse 25. But Jesus, he says this, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who are great exercise, you know, authority over them." That's how greatness is measured in the world. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. In your notes, greatness in God's eyes is found in servanthood. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, remember singing that song, Richard? If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. Number two, out of a motive of love. Love is a powerful thing. There are different kinds of love spoken of in the Bible. But the kind of love we're talking about here is called agape. And it's the kind of love that God has for us. It's a selfless love. It's a giving love. God so loved the world that he gave. It's a love that looks upon others and desires to bless them. It's not selfish. It's not, what do I get out of this? But it's rather, how can I be a blessing? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And in the very end of that chapter, he says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. It's okay to desire to have gifts. It's okay to desire, but see, the underlying motive needs to be something else. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then 1 Corinthians 13, love. Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet let me show you a more excellent way, love. Love is the motivation behind every ministry, everything that we do as it relates to God, as it relates to the church, as it relates to the world. Love is the motivating force. I want to encourage you, don't come to church just to get. See, we can, in our society, what we have is kind of a consumer mentality in our society. We go to the store where we can get the best prices, the most selection. You know, everything is based upon us and how we feel about it. And oftentimes people, that's the way they approach church. You know, they go to this church and they say, well, they're serving tacos. I feel like Chinese food. You know, and they're talking about healing, and I want to. You know, that's not the mentality. Let me challenge you with this. Don't ever come to church to see what you can get out of it, but come to church to be a blessing. Come to church with the idea of, Lord, would you just use me today to bless somebody? Would you just let me encourage somebody? Let me pray for somebody? Let me be a blessing to your people somehow today. And I promise you, if you will do that, you will walk away more fulfilled than you will ever walk away just coming to get. There's just something powerful about this principle. Everything within the will of God gives of itself. An apple tree does not produce apples for its own consumption. Never gets any of them. An apple tree exists so that those that are famished, that walk by and need to partake of that fruit, it's there and they partake of it and they're blessed because of it. Can you imagine yourself as a tree and somebody comes by me and they are just, their life is in turmoil, but they need some peace of God. And so that through my life, maybe they can partake of some of that fruit because they need it. The fruit of the Spirit does not exist in my life for me. Now, I enjoy it while it's there. I enjoy it and I experience it. But I exist, you exist to be a blessing to others. You exist to be a blessing to others. Everything within God's will gives of itself. The sun does not exist for itself. It exists to provide you and me light and warmth. Everything within the will of God gives of itself. I want to share a story with you. A few years ago at the Seattle Special Olympics, 9 contestants, all physically or mentally disabled, assembled at the starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the gun, they all started out not exactly in a dash, but with a relish to run the race and win. all that is except one little boy who stumbled on the asphalt, tumbled over a couple times, and began to cry. The other eight contestants heard the boy cry. They slowed down and looked back. Then they all turned around and went back. Every one of them. One girl with Down syndrome bent down and kissed him and said, "This will make it better." Then all nine linked arms and walked together to the finish line. Everyone in the stadium stood. The cheering went on for several minutes. Those that were there still tell the story, because deep down we know that what matters in life the most is not us winning, but in helping others win. Even if it means slowing down, even if it means changing our course. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I want to say the secret to living is giving. Jesus taught us by the words he spoke and the life he lived. I listed six things here in your notes. He taught us that life is not in things. It's not in materialism. It's not in status. If only I had the latest technology of computer science, or if only I had a boat, if only I had this. I don't know about you, but I've lived long enough to know that every one of those things that I'd just be so happy if I had this, and then you get that and you realize you're not happy and you set your sights on something else. Life is not in things. We were talking with a gal this morning. Her and her son went on vacation to Orlando, and they were in Florida, and they were down in a certain area where they ended up in a certain beach where the hurricanes hit, you know, and they were looking at all these $2 million yachts, and it just everybody was into things, you know, having this and having that. And she said, "You know, I bet you if I went there today, it just wouldn't be the same. Those yachts are torn in pieces and laying over here and laying over there." Life is not found in things. Number two, life is not in feeding the ego, experiencing the applause, the recognition of men. If only my peers esteem me. You know, many people have tried to find life in these arenas we're going to be talking about. But life is not found there. Number three, life is not in things to satisfy the flesh, feeding every bodily appetite, satisfying every physical desire. Life is not found there. I don't even need to expound on that. Number four, life is not even in ordering our own circumstances. Now, let's just admit it. We're all control freaks. Hi, my name's Dave. We like things to be in control. We like things to be manageable. But the Bible says that God orders our steps. And he does a better job of it. There's a book written by a gal called Out of Control and Loving It. And it's just about a woman of God that turned over the reins of her life to God and let God order her circumstances. Number five, life is found in giving, not getting. Jesus, it wasn't just a nice platitude when he said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." He was declaring a spiritual reality. He was declaring a spiritual reality of the kingdom of God. It may not make sense in this realm. Nevertheless, it is more true than this realm. It's an eternal truth, and this is the temporal realm. Eternal truths affect the temporal realm. Number six, the one who gives finds life. We were not put on this planet to see how much we could accumulate. That's why we have yard sales. That's not in my notes. That's just a living word. No. Remember the bumper sticker, whoever dies with the most toys wins? Malarkey, my dad would say. That's a bunch of baloney. God has put us on the earth to see how much of our life we can give away. If I had a bumper sticker, it would say, whoever is the greatest blessing wins. Let's have a contest. Let's see who can be the greatest blessing to our neighbors, to our coworkers. You know, once we truly see God as He really is, He's a God of abundance. It changes everything. We don't hold so tightly to things. We're able to let go of them. David got this revelation one day. He was a shepherd, you know, and he's took care of sheep. And one day he's, you know, just maybe he's playing his harp. I don't know. But he gets this revelation and he says, whoa. This is my translation. Can you tell? Whoa, the Lord is my shepherd. See, David knew that there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. There are hirelings that run off when the animals attack or something's threatened, and there are those that will stay and fight. He was a good shepherd. But even David knew he had limitations. I mean, if the creek is dry, there's not a lot he can do about that. But all of a sudden, he gets a revelation. He says, whoa, wait a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When the creek's dry, God goes like this. See, God doesn't have the limitations of man. And he says, whoa, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. Powerful revelation. And see, what that does is when you begin to see God as He is and as He desires to be in each one of our lives, it begins to set us free and to pour out our lives to others. Lord, how can I be a blessing today? Who could I bless today, Lord? And here's the irony. Here's the irony. The more of your life you give away, the greater God Himself will pour into your life. The more of a channel of releasing His resources and His provision in the earth that you become, the greater the stream of life that begins to flow into your life from heaven. God looks down and He says, I have found me one. I have found somebody that I can bless people through. I've found somebody that's a channel, not a pond. And what I pour into their lives, they release into the lives of others. Whew. Shall be given to you. And that's certainly applicable. But the context of the passage is so broader than that. It's not just about money. It's about everything. And it says, give, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This was Jesus speaking. God thinks like a farmer. Do you know that? There's a lot of farmer talk in the Bible. Sowing and reaping and all of those things. And so the golden rule is not sometimes what we think it is. What it is a smart farmer. And if a farmer wants to grow wheat, he knows that what he needs to sow are wheat seeds. Jesus said, as you want people to treat you, treat them. As a farmer, begin to sow the seeds of what kind of a crop that you want to reap in your life. You were created to be a blessing. And apart from that, life is just shallow. It is just shallow. It's amazing as you I like to talk to older people. I like to talk to older people because they've been around a while. They've made mistakes, but they've learned from their mistakes. They have a different perspective on life, and there's much wisdom to be gained from older people. There's much that we can learn. And it's interesting, people's perspective, as they have sought life in a particular area, and at the end of their days, they will tell you it's not there. It's not in fame. It's not in accumulating things. It's only found one place. Let's stand this morning. There's a prayer that I'd like us to pray, and I forgot to get that to you, didn't I, Linda? And so it's not on the overhead. So it's in your notes. And it's only in your notes. But Richard, why don't you go ahead and come forward? We're gonna actually close this service with a couple songs this morning and just kind of extend our worship time a little bit longer. And don't worry, it's not even 12 yet. Just relax, be cool. But let's pray this prayer together this morning. Heavenly Father, help me to discover the gifts and abilities that you have put within me. I want to be a blessing to the body of Christ, to the spiritual family that you have made me a part of. Help us as a church to be all that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let Richard lead us in a couple songs. I just want to hand out something to you. These are some possibilities of areas within the church of things that people can plug into and get involved with. And these are just some things that Linda threw together. I asked her to do this. And I want to encourage you, if you have not taken the spiritual test or do not have it online, then please pick up one of these this morning. Find out how God has wired you. Find out the areas that you have a propensity towards. And these are going to be in the back, but I'm going to hand these out to you as Richard is leading us this morning.